In the second and third Sundays of Advent, we always hear about John the Baptist, the great Advent saint. And this Sunday, we hear the story of how when John is imprisoned, and we remember that Herod is the one who threw John in prison, and eventually John is executed there. But before he's executed, he sends some of his disciples to Jesus to ask if he's the one that they've been expecting, or if they need to continue to wait. So in other words, is he the Messiah? Is he their Savior? Or do they need to keep waiting? And what's really interesting is how Jesus responds. So of course, Jesus is the one for whom they've been waiting, but Jesus doesn't say, "Yes, I am." What does he say? He says, "Look at what's happening around me." He says, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind regain their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news proclaimed to me." In other words, he says, don't rely on what I say, but on what's done. Rely on the works. Rely on what's happening around me. See the miracles that are being performed and believe in them. So the presence of physical miracles in the gospel is a really important part of the gospel. This is what allowed people to believe in Jesus, was the miracles that he was performing. It mattered that the blind received their sight, that the deaf could hear, that the lame could walk, that lepers were cleansed. It mattered. We might ask the question, well, Jesus did that 2,000 years ago. Does he still do that? Does he still perform miracles? And I think we have to say that, well, there should be miracles. If Jesus really performed them 2,000 years ago and Jesus is still here with us today, he didn't abandon ship, but he sent the Holy Spirit to us to be with us through the sacraments, then there should be miracles today. If we receive the Eucharist every Sunday, if Jesus really comes at Mass, if Jesus is present in all the sacraments, then there should be miracles today. Just a few days ago, I was talking to a friend of mine. He has four kids. The oldest of his is probably six. And So he was telling me about how all their kids were sick, which is nothing new, because every time I call him, their whole house is sick. So one gets sick and then spreads it to every other member of the family. And then so they all get sick, and then they get better for a week, and then the cycle starts over again. So he's telling me that they'd all been sick, and so he finally went back to work, and then his wife calls him at work and says, "You need to come home right away because of what's happening to Joseph." So my friend goes home, and his son Joseph, who's six, can hardly breathe, and it sounds like he's breathing through a straw with a bunch of crud in it, and this little boy's panicking because he's having trouble breathing. So right away, my friend brings Joseph to the clinic in town. And so there they're sitting waiting to see the doctor. And Joseph is just heaving and really struggling to breathe. So a doctor walks through the clinic, stops right in front of Joseph, and says, "There's something really wrong with him. He needs to go to the ER right now." And so they bring him over to the ER, where he sees a different doctor, and that second doctor's really concerned and says, we're gonna have to airlift him to Children's. But before they do that, he wants to do a CAT scan of his lungs to see what's impeding his breathing. So he takes the CAT scan, and The doctor's out of the room, and my friend is just waiting there with his son. And then it just dawns on my friend that he should have people pray. And so he texts some people to see if they'll pray. And then he puts his hand on Joseph's head, and he starts praying. And 5 minutes go by. The doctor comes back in, looks at Joseph, and says, "What happened?" And then the nurse comes in right behind the doctor, stops, and says, "What happened?" Because Joseph was breathing again. He's breathing considerably better. And he was stopped panicking, and he was just kind of smiling and sitting next to his dad. And so the doctor said, "Seriously, tell me what just happened." And my friend said, "Well, I just prayed." And the doctor was amazed. And he said, I think it's a miracle. He took out the CAT scan to see what that said, and it was perfectly clear. There's nothing in his lungs. And so the doctor gave him some antibiotics, and they went home. And he was fine after that. So I just think that if we aren't expecting or asking for miracles, we're not going to receive them. Every miracle that Jesus performed in the gospel happened because somebody asked for it. Somebody asked to be healed themselves, or we have the story of the paralyzed man whose friends lowered him through the roof, and they asked for their friend to be healed, and Jesus healed them. I mean, if Jesus really healed people 2,000 years ago, and if Jesus didn't abandon ship, but he's here with us in the sacraments, if it's really Jesus we receive in the sacraments, then we should be experiencing healings. Now, that doesn't mean we'll always get a miracle when we want a miracle, because Jesus didn't heal everybody. It's part of the mystery of God's providence, why some people were healed, why some people received a miracle and not everybody. So that's going to be the same thing with us too. Some people will be healed, not everybody. But we should be asking, and we should be expecting that miracles are going to happen here as well. I guess what's really interesting to me about this passage, so Jesus responds back to the question of the disciples, "Are you the Messiah?" And Jesus doesn't just say, "Yes, I am, I'm here." He says, "Look around you and see what's happening." And then he points out the miracles. But what's the last miracle that he points out? He says, "The poor have the good news proclaimed to them." He goes through this list of physical miracles that are amazing. Blind seeing, lame walking, lepers healed, deaf hearing, dead being raised. That's amazing. And then he says, at the end of this list that's been growing in power, "And the poor have the good news proclaimed to them." And we might think, well, what's the big deal about that? The poor have the good news proclaimed to them. Well, this is a different kind of miracle that Jesus is talking about. The first five miracles, all have to do with physical healing. And some of us need that because we're struggling physically. But every single one of us here is struggling spiritually, myself included. We're all poor. We might not be blind. We might not be deaf. We might not be dead, at least not at this moment. But we're all poor. We're all poor. Every one of us. Poor in different ways. Maybe you're really struggling to experience God in your life. Maybe you pray and you pray and you can't feel God's presence and you feel alone. Maybe you can't pray, and that's the poverty. Or maybe you're stuck in sin, and you feel helpless there, powerless there. Just like somebody who's physically sick can feel helpless and powerless. Somebody with a cancer diagnosis, helpless, powerless. Spiritually, no different. We're helpless there. We try to reach out to God. We want to reach out to God, but yet there seems to be no answer, no help. Spiritual poverty. What I want to propose is that the greatest miracle that God works is actually not the dramatic healings, like blind seeing, deaf hearing. The greatest miracle that God works is actually the change that he can make in our own heart, how he can change our heart. Why do I say that? Well, it's because it's very easy for God to tell an eye to see, because God's the creator of the universe, and the eye can't say no. It's very easy for God to make someone's legs walk again who is paralyzed, because God's the creator of the universe and the legs can't say no. It'd be very easy for God to take a stone and turn it into a loaf of bread, because the stone can't resist what's happening to it. What's the only thing in the universe that can actually resist God's creative work, God's healing, restorative work? It's here. It's found inside of each one of us. It's our own heart that can say no. It's our own heart that can resist God's grace, that can refuse God's grace, that can rebel against God's grace. That's the only thing that can say no to God. And so the kind of miracle that we really need is for God to change our hearts that can be very far from him. This Advent, what's the message over and over again? Well, it's make way for the Lord. Prepare a way for the Lord, a highway for the Lord into our hearts to encounter Jesus. So what can we do? What can we do to have God change our hearts? Come into our hearts. Give us the grace of conversion. Well, we're doing something really important right now, and that's by being here at Mass, by putting ourselves in a place where God can work in us. That's what needs to happen. We put ourselves in a place where God can work, and then we ask him to do something. Isn't that all we can do? But if we don't put ourselves in a place where God can enter into our hearts, well, that's our resisting, that's our refusing, that's our saying, no, I don't need your help. So it's good that we're here tonight. The other thing I just want to mention is the role of the sacrament of reconciliation in this process of the change in our hearts. Gosh, if we want a change of heart, that's the best place to go, is the sacrament of reconciliation, where we encounter Jesus. So many people that I can think of offhand who can confess something that happened decades ago, who simply by reconciling that sin in the confessional had a total change of life and heart, because no longer could that sin, which they felt guilty about for decades, keep them in bondage anymore, because God had drowned that sin in the abyss of his divine mercy. So, Advent, such a good time for us to go to the sacrament of reconciliation. Again, putting ourselves in a place where God can do something. In a place where God can change our hearts. So, that's the biggest miracle. God wants to work an Advent miracle in our life this year. So let's ask the Lord today to give us the healing that we need in body, mind, heart, and soul. And let's ask him for the help to put ourselves in the place where we can receive the healing, the miracle that he's so happy to give us.